I have like a half hour, so I'm not going to go into it. I'm not going to go into an introduction. Here's why we don't need a lot of time this morning. The reason for gathering ourselves together isn't because we're trying to qualify, because we're supposed to go to church. We already qualified through the cross. This isn't something we are supposed to do for any other reason than God wants us to stay focused and hooked up to truth and stay sharpened and edified in what he paid for, what he created us for. And we're in this moment to stir one another in love and good works. That's the whole reason for a gathering. Christianity is not fulfilled by church attendance. Christianity is fulfilled by Christlikeness. And the reason we gather is to stay focused so that life never starts speaking louder than truth, and we never just become a product of how things are going, but a product of who he is and what he accomplished and who he is on the inside of us. I've seen now for 23 years of being a Christian, I've seen us let so many things matter more than what matters most. We let what are going through, what we're going through, our story, our go through decide how well we're doing. And then we take that disposition, that identity to God and cry out for help and prayer. So we never really get to know him. We never really get intimate with him. He becomes our servant instead of our father. And it's all about our well-being instead of our transformation. And we've got to be very, very careful that we don't slip into this trap and let religion lull us to sleep. Today, in today's world, and I'm not correcting anybody, I'm just sharing the truth. I'm not even talking to you. I'm kind of looking out this way so you don't think I'm talking to you. Because I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to cry out my heart. I got 30 minutes. I got one shot with you guys to cry out my heart. He paid a price to redeem and restore our lives, not to bless our circumstances. He paid a price to put who he is inside of us so our light so shine before men. And what happens is we turn God into a servant and we get him to try to meet all of our needs and everything we need for life to go well. So the gospel becomes a survival kit instead of an answer for a new life. So all of a sudden, our motives are the same, our perspectives are the same, our attitudes are the same, but we prayed a prayer to go to heaven instead of heaven coming into us and living through us towards men. So being offended, being hurt, being discouraged, being disappointed, having animosity in our homes, little stingers on our lines, little body languages and mixed messages and motives, that all seems to be normal because that's all we've known from the time we were born. But we were born into Adam and we must be born again. So nothing that we're living is what he made us for. It's what we became through separation from God. So God wants to rejoin us to him through the blood of his son to redeem and restore us. So he says, put off the old man and his deeds. Put him off. Not find balance. Put him off. Put the old man off. It's Colossians 3, by the way. 3:10, exactly. Put on the new man, who's renewed in knowledge according to or in agreement with the image of the one who created him. What's the point? In Genesis, God said, let us make man in our image. God didn't just make man. He made man with intention. He made man with purpose. He made man with value. That purpose and value got undermined and lost when man sinned and lived outside of God. God has an answer because his love never fails, because he never changes. He doesn't change his mind about you. On your darkest day, on your most willful adventure, he didn't lose sight of why you're here, what you're created for, your purpose and your potential. Now, my whole life, no pastor ever told me this, but my whole life, and I went to church till I was 20, but then I quit going for 13 years. That was my fault. I just stopped going. But no pastor ever told me this. They always told me Jesus died on the cross because I'm a sinner and that I need to confess my sins and repent of my sins so that I could get forgiven of my sins so that one day when he comes back, I can go to heaven. Now, I understand that he had to die because I sinned. It's super scriptural. There's no way around it. But here's what no preacher ever told me. He didn't just die because I'm a sinner. He died because I was a lost son. He paid a heavy price to restore a truth in my life, not just forgive my sins. He paid a heavy price to put who he is back inside of me so that I could live by the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because to live by the flesh is death, but to live by the Spirit is life and peace. No wonder so many people go to church and have no peace. No wonder so many people attend church regularly, faithfully, serve in a ministry, and are disappointed and discouraged. Why? Because life is deciding who they are, not the one that gives it. Are you following me? People and what they did and how they acted and what they said and what they didn't said usually is the determining factor of our lives. So we talk like this. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Well, you don't know what they put me through. Well, you don't know what it was like growing up in my home, preacher. Well, you need to be more sensitive because you don't know my story. Your story is not your story. That's what's supposed to be dead. That's what dies in that water trough over there. What you've been through dies, and what he's been through becomes the truth about your life. And all of a sudden, you put off the old and you put on the new. And a Christian doesn't love his own life unto death. He doesn't seek its own. He denies himself. He picks up his cross and he follows Jesus. You be very careful you don't get lulled to sleep in this season and only listen to messages that benefit your circumstances without transforming your heart. Because all of a sudden, you'll let a man decide who you are and his name won't be Jesus. Are you with me? People justify their offense. They justify their pain. They say, well, I wouldn't be in this place if it wasn't for this, this, and this. I've been waiting for God to change that. Well, this, this, and this isn't Lord. That's the problem. But you're letting it govern and decide your life. He's the Lord, and who he is should live through your life. And then you see things different. You handle people different. You respond different because you're here for a different reason than making it. Are you following me this morning? I know I'm a little passionate. I'm talking fast because I feel like I'm on a time clock. Are you good? Look, I don't mean to shock you. I want to stir your heart. I want to fibrillate you this morning if you need it. If you don't need it, great, then you're already on board. But if you need it, don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost paddles that poof, fibrillate your heart. Look, it's possible in today's church to just wake up and say, oh my gosh, service is in a half hour. We're always late. You know, I'd love to get to church. I'd just love to get to church just one time on time. Why didn't you wake up the kids, honey? Well, I thought you were waking up the kids. This is real stuff. It happens in homes. Well, I just need, well, look, just get them ready. I'll get the things together. I'll pack the bag. I know what I'm doing. Honey, if you could just get the kids ready, we'd love to get to church on time. A little bit of tension. Our whole goal, get to church. Animosity, struggle. We get to children's church. Now we got to walk the kids down the hall. Service already started. Up, 4 minutes late, 5 minutes late again. Worship's already gone. I can hear it. Kids are already in their class. Hey, see ya. Get you soon. Okay, that's good. Sit your stuff down. What are we doing? We've made Christianity church attendance. Christianity is Christ-likeness. Living in truth, making peace, showing mercy, walking in love. Christianity is following him, not singing to him. Christianity is following him, not praying when you're overwhelmed. Christianity is living like he lives. It's 1 John 2. It says, any man that says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked. He said, follow me. He didn't say, sing to me. The problem is we think we are who we are because we've proved it for years. So we follow each other and we compare ourselves among ourselves and we forget to follow Jesus. So we think we're this way, he's that way. But he said, as the Father sent me, I send you, and the things I do, you'll do if you believe. And as he is, so are we in this world, the body of Christ. Let your light so shine before men. The enemy on the earth knows the scripture. He said, okay, this is great. I'll let him go to church. Man, I'll let Lee just sing his heart out because he's awesome, and they'll enjoy Lee, and Lee just works in the moment because he has the right heart, but I'm not threatened by that at all. I'll let them just believe that this is all Christianity, but I'll keep them frustrated, offended, disappointed, full of anxiety, a little failed expectation here and there. Oh, this is great. Let's let them go to church and never just become like Jesus, and let the things that they do in his name take the place of living in his name and knowing him. Devil could care less that we're here. He's not threatened at all about our church attendance. He's threatened when you don't get offended. He's threatened when you walk in love. He's threatened when you let mercy triumph over judgment. He's threatened when you let mercy and love cover a multitude of sin and don't get affected by the evil that's been done to you. The devil's affected when a man starts living like Jesus created him to live. That's when he's bothered. Look, anybody can react to each other. That doesn't make you special. That makes you like everybody else that doesn't truly know Jesus like they could. He said, if he loved us this way, ought we not love one another? 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction is love. It's through a pure heart, a clear conscience, a sincere faith. The first part is vital, a pure heart. The pure in heart shall see God. Not a suspicious heart, not a damaged heart, not a defended heart, not a heart with walls, self-walls placed all around it. A pure heart. A heart that just sees the best and believes the best and loves not its own life unto death. Look, you never repay evil for evil. You overcome evil with good. You don't let sin against you produce sin in you. You follow him. Guys, I'm just telling you plain, loud, and passionate. He shed his blood for this. And Matthew 18 says he came to save that, not who. He came to save that which was lost. Something was lost in the garden, people. And it was man's created value. It was the image of God in man and what God intended in the first place. And Jesus thinks it's so important that it's worth coming and giving his life for, even though he was totally innocent. Jesus thinks this thing is so extreme that he would die for it so you could live in it. This thing is not a passport to heaven. This thing is not a beneficial thing. It's heaven coming back into men and the life of God living in them and the perspective of God living through them and the motive of God dominating them. Where all of a sudden you have a whole different reason for being and you're challenged by animosity in your heart. You're challenged by the feelings of unforgiveness and you don't want it because you don't see it in him. And all of a sudden you just want to be like the one that we all say we love. He said, well, if you love me, you'll simply do what I say to do. He's not saying if you love me, you'll do what I say to do. He's saying if you love me, you'll do what I say to do. Why? Because you love him. And you see who he is and you see who he is in you and you begin to live this life. 23 years ago, I understood this and finally got it. And then coming to church wasn't a challenge. Living in him was a joy. And all of a sudden I realized every morning that I wake up, nobody owes me a thing. I'm married. I'm a married man for 36 years. 23 of that has been in the Lord. My wife owes me nothing this morning. My life is not dictated by her. I'm in Christ Jesus. She can't fail me. She can't break my heart. I will cry for her before I get offended at her. Because if she's not living what she's created for, she's just not seeing who she is. That shouldn't frustrate me. That should make me hurt for her. Because she's not alive to serve me. I'm alive to love. Are you hearing me? And if you'll let the gospel this morning teach you and challenge you in this one thought, that the whole reason you're on the earth is to love. The whole reason you're on the earth is to be more like him. The whole reason you're on the earth is to pursue his image. It will change everything in your everyday walk. If you stick your heart to that and guard your heart, because out of your heart flows the issues of life, and you won't let your heart get filled with petty things and judgments and pride and opinions and, well, I feel, well, that doesn't, well, why? If you just throw all that away because it's never produced a good thing and stop believing it's normal, and hold yourself accountable to what's possible, you'd be amazed how grace starts working in our lives, how our physical lives would change, our expressional lives would change, our workplaces would be affected, our families would be touched. Are you hearing me? Or we can just keep going to church and singing about him and having a reason to be less than who he is inside of us. And that's called religion. And that's a desolate, despairing place. And one day we'll stand before God and go, oops, because we realized we learned how to do church without becoming her. The Bible says any man that's loving and walking in love has no cause and no reason for offense in his brother. No reason. You know how many people I've pastored that are hurt? You know how many people I've pastored that are mad at leadership, don't even want to go to church anymore because they're ticked off at the pastor? How many people won't work with each other because they rub them wrong? All those things are an indictment that we do church and don't know the one that we sing to. Because he's not that way at all. While you were yet a sinner, he came and shed his blood so his life could come inside of you. While you weren't getting anything right, he was busy setting it right so that he could come and bring change to your life. And if we're not careful, we've turned this into personal blessing and personal well-being instead of transformation of life and loving not our own lives unto death. The only way you'll separate from fear, the only way you'll separate from sentiment and human feelings and emotions and sensuality is when you learn that you love not your own life unto death, because you seek ye first, not second, first, not second. You seek ye first, not second, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Are you guys with me? I know I'm impassioned, passionate and intense. You're really quiet. You're looking at me like you're in shock. Don't be in shock. All I'm preaching to you is Christianity. It's nothing unscriptural. I'm only halfway into the intensity that I could preach. The scripture is incredible. It says you're either for me or against me. You either gather to me or you scatter. We think that's harsh, judgmental. No, what's Jesus saying? We think that's pagan, born again. You're either a pagan or you're born again. You're either a Gentile or you're a Christian. He's not talking about that. What he's saying is you either have attitudes that favor what I'm doing or work directly against what I'm doing. You're either participating with me or you're working in direct contrast to me, because there's no middle ground. You could go to church, see your need for Savior, be sincere, have a dramatic encounter at the altar, and see that Jesus washed away your sins. Never deal with attitude. Stay touchy. Be touched. Leave offense dictate your life. Come to church, serve in a ministry, and have an inward attitude that's working directly against the kingdom of God, even though you're claiming to be a part of it. That's what he's talking about. And all of a sudden, you're breeding animosity instead of the kingdom of God. Are you guys with me? Come on. I'm calling you to this thing. He gave me the mic. He let me preach. It's his fault. Blame it on Matt. Look, I'm looking at your faces. I'm flying on a plane in a minute. And I'm going home. And life's going to be amazing for me. And there ain't nothing nobody can do about it. It's incredible. You can write anything you want about me. You can disagree with me all you want, but I'm going to hear his voice today. I know his presence. He's inside of me. Somebody on the plane's going to get loved. They're probably going to cry. It's going to be fun. It happens all the time because I love my own life unto death. I'm not worried about my connections and my flight times and am I going to make it home. I'm already home. Are you following me? I'm not going to let petty temporal things that are passing by dictate eternal truth. One day, this man right here, and one day you are going to stand before the Lord and answer for what you did with this gift called life, not called dread. Gift, it's a gift, not a dread. Life's not a grind. Life's not tough. The only reason it's tough is because we're living it outside of why we're here. And we're trying to get him to fix our messes instead of him to fix us. I don't need my children to do right for me to love them. I don't need my children to do right to have a healthy identity. I need to live like Jesus so they have the best example to follow. I don't let my children and how they're doing decide who I am. So in the season when they didn't do well because they believed several lies, who knows nothing changes about the truth? Who knows I'm no less of a man of God, no less called? Who knows that God still loves them? Who knows if they won't even hug me? And it's not because of hypocrisy. It's not because I stood here and preached one thing and did something else behind the scenes. It's because they were believing lies and they have to grow in their own faith and they can't ride the faith of their daddy. It's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has to become your God. Who do men say that I am? There was a lot of answers when he asked that question. And then he said, who do you say that I am? See, friend, if you don't answer that question, you'll never walk in a higher truth. If you just live by what men say he is, you will never get to know him intimately, and passion will never burn in your heart, and truth will never lead your life. You will just live by what you heard instead of what you know. There's a difference. My children are doing great, by the way, and they're in love with Jesus, and everything's great. But I'll tell you what, there was a season that looked like a bomb blew up in my home. You tell me how that changes the gospel and why I should be a fallen apart, broken daddy that feels like he failed. It's just kids making bad choices. Pull it together, friends. Stay in Jesus. And if your kids won't hug you, hug everybody else's kids because they're just as valuable. Hello? Here's what we do. We don't realize it. We covet our own lives. We covet our own families. God is even on thin ice where our families are concerned. You let something happen to a family member and God is on trial in a heartbeat. There's people that ain't even went back to church because they lost a loved one. There's people that never prayed. We sang that song, "You Never Failed Me Yet." You know, and people in a room this size can't even sing that. They're actually thinking, "Well, I don't know. I feel like you failed me. I don't know why I got laid off. Sure failed me. I prayed I didn't get laid off, but I got laid off." So now layoff is deciding your life, not your fellowship and love with God. All of a sudden, he's your busboy, your genie in a bottle, abracadabra, make my world work. And if you don't, hey, I got issues. Well, that's not covenant. That's not love. That's an expression of deep self-centeredness. And Jesus said, "If any man come after me," Matthew 16, here's what he didn't say. "If any man come after me, let him make sure he prays a prayer quick because he doesn't know when he's going to die. It could be any moment. And make sure it's before you leave the service because you just might hit a tree on the way down the road and you better be ready if that happens. So if anybody comes to me, make sure you pray a prayer so you get qualified in your name in a book called Life so that if you die, you know you're good." He never said that. That's what we say. Why? Because self-centeredness have crept into the gospel and we make the gospel to serve us continually. That's why there's discouraged people that attend church regularly. Because they've been built on all these promises. And then we sing a song, "You Never Failed Me Yet," and we're sure in 10 different ways how he had to fail me. Here's what he did say. "If any man come after me, let him first deny himself." Why is that first? Because you were never made for you. You were made for his image. The biggest problem on the planet isn't politics. The biggest problem in the planet isn't racism. The biggest problem on the planet isn't terrorism. The biggest problem on the planet is every day men wake up and live for themselves when they're made for God's image and there's chaos. It's the biggest problem on the planet. Do you know how many people are Christians for themselves? For their own well-being? That's why they're discouraged in their faith. That's why they're discouraged in Christianity, because they've taken life personal instead of the gospel and they haven't become something. They've just believed for something that they can get instead of become. People say, "Well, if God's good, then how come he? And if God's good, then why when I was four? And if God's good, why'd my mom pass?" Well, people ask him questions like that all the time, but they came from a wrong heart too. And he never answered their question. He always said, "Let me ask you a question." You look in your Bible. I've read that book. Every time they ask him a question from a wrong place, he never answered it. He always asked him a question. People say, "Well, if God's good, then how come?" Well, let me ask you a question. If God's not good, why'd he send his son when we were yet sinners? When you had no heart for him, why do you have a heart for you? See, the measuring stick of God's love isn't your circumstances. The measuring stick of God's love is Christ crucified. And if you don't see that, you'll never get rooted and grounded in love, and faith will never work through love. Are you hearing me? Listen, I'm just encouraging your heart. I don't have much time. I'm done. I got like 2 minutes, I think, if I looked at my sheet right, maybe three. We don't have to stay here all day, but I want you to ask yourself, why am I a Christian? Have I even really deeply thought about it lately? Don't say, "Man, you're judging me." I'm not judging you. I'm asking you to look into your own heart and check yourself on your why and your motives and guard your heart, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. You can't rise above the why behind your life. The why and what makes you tick is what you're going to do. How you're going to live is decided by the why. So why do you go to church? Why are you a part of this fellowship? Why are you a Christian? Is it to go to heaven? Is it for protection for your children? Is it so you have income? Is it for provision? Is it for protection? Or is it for his image and his nature and the manifestation of who he is through your life? Because honestly, no other thing is Christianity, people. There's nothing that's Christianity outside of dying to yourself and living unto him, putting off the old man and putting on the new. Water baptism is representative of that. You're going to do one here soon. If you're a good Pastor Mac like me, you'll hold everybody under till the bubbles stop. And you'll make sure that everybody's dead because they can't live until they die. You don't bring the old into the new. The wineskin won't hold the new wine. It'll burst and the wine will be spilled. And all of a sudden you have a day when you remember you were baptized, but no evidence of a transformed life. And you still have the same pain, same frustration, same disappointment, same argumentative attitude. And all of a sudden you have to wonder what born again even means. I guess maybe we've reduced it to a prayer that sends me to heaven instead of his kingdom is here and it's in you and it's on the earth. Please, 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 please pursue peace with one another. It takes two to tango. It takes one to pursue peace. Please don't come and sing these amazing songs and fight with true animosity over where you're going to eat this afternoon. Don't call it normal. Let's call this stuff. Let's not get so familiar with each other that we fail to love each other. Let's pursue to be like him and walk like him and live like him. Because if he said, follow me, it must be possible through the person of Holy Spirit if you're willing. Here's what I've learned. I've learned a lot of people don't want to become love. They hold on to the rights that were given to them through Adam and living for themselves. They say, well, if somebody does this, I'm supposed to just, well, you try to talk to God about that because you did a lot of things to his kingdom. And he had no trouble forgiving you. So if you can't put your attitude in his mindset, maybe you ought to challenge it in yours. And if you can't put your words in his mouth, maybe you ought to rethink about what you're saying. Because if you can't find it in him, it probably shouldn't be in you if you're made for his image. And as he is, so are we in this world. People, this is Christianity, nothing more, nothing less. It's not radical. It's simple Bible. But we've gotten so far away from it that we truly love our own lives and we're Christians for our sake instead of his name. Please, if that's true in your life, if it's not, that's amazing and that's great. But if it's true in your life, challenge it, do something about it, get alone with God, surrender, yield, begin to pray, ask him for help. But please don't let things run the same. He paid a great price to live inside of you and shine through you so the world could know who he is through your life. If they don't see him in you, why do they want what you say you have if they can't see him in you? God bless you. I need to stop. I'm 1 minute over. I'm sorry. You know, it's funny when I travel and preach that sometimes I get to places where I haven't been or people haven't known me, and it's almost like after I preach, there's more shock in the room than there is blessing. And that concerns me. Because I feel like we've never heard the full gospel. We've only heard a gospel that pertains to our blessing instead of our transformation. The gospel has always been, it's no shock, always been about a new creature, a new creation in Christ. It's always been about deny yourself, pick up your cross. It's always been about love not your own life unto death. It's always been about love one another. Love doesn't seek its own, and love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Then why are we so busted up by each other? Because we haven't understood love. I have not brought anything new to you. I've brought what always has been. The only thing Christianity is pursuing Christ formed in you and transformation of life. It's nothing less, people. All I've brought to you is what he paid for. And I'm crying with, actually, you might not believe this, subdued passion for your sake. I'm crying from the rooftop of my heart and saying, please hear and please understand. So I'm going to pray for you guys that this thing would be a reality in our lives and that you could go to work and instead of complaining about your job and being ticked off at your boss and wishing and praying at best that he get fired or you get another job. What a tragic mindset. Instead, you realize that's a mission field and you're called to be a light and you don't need to run to nothing from nothing because your boss doesn't bother you anymore because you have compassion for him, because if he knew who he was, he wouldn't be acting the way he is. That should make you care for him, not get mad at him. It's a sure sign that we don't know Jesus like we sing. Father, I just pray for grace right now in this room. And I know this message sounded strong, but God, I thank you that no one's hearing it as a spanking. It's a call higher. It's a notch higher. The word holy means a cut above. So come out from among them and be ye separate, I pray, Father, that we would be your people and you would be a God unto us and we would be your people. I pray for a grace in our lives to really deal with our hearts and not live in denial, that no one would just easily breeze this away and get out in the parking lot and the best revelation to God is, hey, what did you think about that guy? Well, I think he was a little overpassionate. God, I pray that no one be lulled to sleep by religion, but you would activate and access every single heart today. Father, you said, whatever I ask, praying, believing, I can have it. And I pray by the mercies of God, you would speak to our hearts today, challenge our consciences and meet us right where we're at, that no one would hear the message for another, but they'd hear it for their own lives. No spouse would sit here and say, I hope my spouse is listening, that every person would hear it for themselves, not another, that God, you would do a work in us that would be undeniable, that you would do a work in us that would change us in such a way that people can't deny the change, that people would say, man, what is going on with you? That our coworkers would seek transformation, that life would come into our spheres of influence, that you would multiply yourself through multiplying us, that you would cover the earth with your glory. Please, God, Don't let us miss the point of why you sent your son. Let us become love and live by the Spirit and bring great glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Would you stand? Would you pray a blessing over us and then we're going to go?
Father, I thank you for this house. I thank you for every heart that's represented here. I just thank you for your love that is undeniable through the cross and unstoppable because it never fails. Father, empower us today and let these words be a conviction, not a heavy. Let us not miss what you're saying, that it's a good thing. It's not correction. It's not a spanking. It's telling us who we are and what you paid for. And I ask that the grace of that truth would fill our hearts and begin to live through our lives. Thank you for increased peace in our homes. I'm asking for healing in our marriages, God. I'm asking, Father, that the families would take responsibility through this message, that a spouse wouldn't be waiting on their spouse, but they take the initiative to say yes to you, God. I pray that we wouldn't play any more emotional games and wait on each other, but we just dive in. Lord God, I pray for peace in our homes. And I thank you for healthy homes. And I thank you that healthy homes will translate into spheres of influence that are lived in sincerity with impact. Let our lives matter because you believe it or you wouldn't have paid for them. Fill us with who you are, just like we're singing, so the world might know you sent your son. I bless this house and I ask for this grace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have a great week. God bless you.